So how do you attract new business so you constantly don't have to chase it? Hi, I'm Mike Cuevas, the Real Estate Marketing Dude, and this podcast is all about building a strong personal brand people have come to know, like, trust, and most importantly, refer. But remember, it is not their job to remember what you do for a living. It's your job to remind them. Let's get started. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Dude podcast. Folks, what we're going to be chatting about today is going to be just me. We're going to talk about USP, unique selling proposition, because this is the one question that nobody can ever answer. And this question, being able to answer this question, is going to be the key to the future of your business for what I'm about to outline on this podcast. So over the next 15, 20, 30 minutes. I don't know how long I'm going to go. I'm just sort of freestyling here. But what we're going to go and outline is how to define, or why to define, your value proposition, because it's going to be questioned more and more and more. And the reason for this mainly is going to be the NAR settlement. So just the elephant in the room, the NAR settlement. It's not so much as the terms as much as the media surrounding the NAR settlement. And we're already seeing talks of it amongst agents, you know. And if you're going on appointments right now, and you're going on quite a bit of them, you've already heard about this. So this is nothing I'm telling you, but we're seeing consumers, hey, I'm just going to wait until the settlement comes down so I don't have to pay a buyer's agent. Or, hey, so I'm not going to pay a buyer's agent. Or, hey, I'm not going to do this. Like, all of these things about quote unquote saving is coming down the pipeline. And the reality is that if you don't have a unique selling proposition, why should they pay you? You see, the better your unique selling proposition is, the less you're going to be asked that question, I mean, is what it comes down to. Literally, you have to define a selling proposition. And I'll tell you what your unique selling proposition is not, and it never was. However, so many people ask this, because I can't tell you guys how many people I've branded, and I'll come up with like a content strategy. And regardless of the business, I'm doing it for a lot of lawyers right now, but regardless if you're a real estate agent, you're a lender, or you're a lawyer, or you're an investor, or you're an entrepreneur, whatever it is, when it's a service-based business and there's other competitors that are offering a very similar product, so like a chiropractor, like a dentist, okay, or like a real estate agent, the one question no one could ever answer for me is, what do you do differently? And what is not the right answer is, I'm going to look out for the best interests of my client. I'm going to negotiate much harder than them. I've been in the business for years. None of that stuff matters. That's assumed, guys. Like, of course you should look out for your clients with the best interests. I mean, what tagline would that say? Is, hey, Mike Cuevas, realtor, always screwing over my clients. Of course you should look for their best interest. Like, that's common. Yeah, that's not a unique selling proposition. I'm going to give them all of their options. You should give them all of their options. Like, that is not a unique selling proposition. See what I mean? Like, you have to define it and really dig down deep. What is it that you do differently? This is where your personal brand is going to take so much importance, because people will hire you for how, not what you do. The real estate license you hold in your pocket, or the mortgage loan origination license, whatever it is that you hold, that just gives you the legal right to make money off of the profession that you're in, right? But it doesn't by any means make you any different than anybody else. And as you're going to see, I've been like this commission compression. We've been talking about this for a few years now, and we said it was coming. I didn't think it was going to come in this shape or form, but this is definitely it. This is the catalyst that's going to hit it. And we know commission compression is real. Now, what I'm going to challenge you to do is how to fight back with that and generate ancillary streams of income. And I want you to start thinking outside the box, because I guarantee you this is the future. Been doing a show for 10 years. I actually can say that now, because you could go back and listen to my first few episodes, and all the stuff that's happening now, I can't say I predicted, but I was right on. There's no one could say that anymore. Started saying it with video. I started saying it with personal branding back in 2014. And now I'm telling you what's going to happen in the next few years. I guarantee this. I will hang my hat on this. I will die on this hill. I'll tell you guys straight up what I believe is going to happen. I'm positive this is the way it's going. This NAR settlement thing is going to stick. this isn't all bad news too. Let me just say that. Okay. There's a lot of opportunity here too. So I'm not trying to be the Grim Reaper here or whatnot, but there's a lot of opportunity here too, guys. So listen to what I'm telling you. Okay. This NAR news is going to stick. Here's going to be the problem, 100%. And I already see people, oh, well, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac came out and they said that we can, roll out and we could consider, they'll not cover the, they'll cover the closing costs. We could roll in as a closing cost credit. Great. I'm just going to charge my buyer 2.5%. Folks, no one's asked a buyer if they would say yes to that yet. Let me just repeat that. People are assuming because the buyer might not have an out-of-pocket expense that they could roll it into the loan. And because they could roll it into the loan, the 2.5% might only cost them $15 a month or $20 a month, whatever the number is, that the buyer automatically is going to be on board and say yes. Folks, I haven't seen a buyer that would say yes. I want you to show my house. Hey, as a buyer's agent, I have yet to see anyone say, hey, take me out, show me around for 2.5%. I'll pick up the cost. And if you find one, please let me know, unless you're a specialist. Unless you're already concentrating in a niche, like if you're finding investor deals way under market, yes, those guys will pay you or gals will pay you 10% over what on a commission. It doesn't matter. That's just numbers. It's transactional. But for general, helping someone that's going to buy and sell a house, the one that they're going to live in with their primary residence, and investment is not the primary objective, the buying the property to begin with. Well, I want to see people go up and say, hey, I'm going to charge you 2.5%. We're just going to roll into your closing costs. Is that cool? The average, like depending on what market you're in, let's just say like I'm in San Diego. It's basically saying, hey, dude, I'm going to charge you 25 grand to go out and show you houses. That's a tough sell, guys. It really is a tough sell. All right. Now, what do I think is going to happen? I think what's going to happen is that we're going to cut down into, I think, the buyer agency fee agreement. Listing agents is the name of the game. Listing agents are golden. If you could get listings, you're golden. However, I'm going to give you different ways I would approach them. These are all just ideas right here today. There's a lot of them that are million-dollar ideas, so I want you guys to take these and run with them. But I'm going to go through all the different positioning adjustments that I would personally recommend, things you could make. So I want you to start thinking outside the box. Now, I think back to buyer agency agreements. I believe the buyer agency fee agreements are going to go down an average about a 1%, half to 1%, maybe in some cases 1.5%. But I think it's going to end up going into a model, $5,000 or 1% or something like that would be my guesstimate on what the market would bear. Now, buyers will pay for an agent. I just don't think they're going to pay 2.5%. And that's going to be the sticker shock that a lot of agents are going to be surprised about when they see this start to hit reality. Now, what do we do about that? Because like I said, this is not all doom and gloom. And you just have to position yourself accordingly for this. First and foremost, personal branding's in everything, okay? Every single person in real estate needs to develop a personal brand. You can't develop a personal brand without creating content. I'm creating content right now for my personal brand and for Referral Suite, Suite Assist. We create content so that we could put that content in front of all of you guys, and then maybe some of you guys will buy our stuff later down the road, right? Well, no differently. You create content for all of your community, all of your SOI, all of your friends, all of your family, so that down the road, they're either going to use you because you're the only one they think of, or they're going to refer you to somebody because you're a lot more referable because they're seeing you everywhere all the time. But it's not the point. The more content you create, the bigger the expert you are. And people going forward are going to hire experts. The real estate agents that are going to be out of the business are little cousin Billy and Aunt Sue, the blue-haired realtor that always takes those 1 to 2 deals away from you. So what you have to look at is the big picture here, the macro. And what the macro is showing is that the exodus to real estate agents is going to be pretty large. Because a lot of people are just a bunch of people chasing checks and not really running a true blown business. And that's okay. Because for the people that are, there are still people to buy or sell. So those couple of deals that you were losing to Aunt Sue and little Billy cousin, the realtor, well, those are going to start coming back into your arena because you're going to see those transactional type of onesie, twosie, threesie agents who did this part-time and it was a great side income to pay for their vacations every 12 months. Well, they're fucking out of business. That's the reality. So there's opportunity in here for people who are full-time, want to be full-time or not, but you have to sharpen your skills. And the first skill you have to sharpen is that with your personal brand. Now, if you need help with your personal brand, I want you to go visit Referral Suite, referralsuite.com. That's what it does. It is there to build the personal brand amongst your database of relationships. So that's step one. So you do have an option for that. I will help you do that, okay? But let's go on to next two, because what you need to do next is develop a USP. One, your personal brand will be part of your unique selling proposition, but you also have to have unique selling proposition in the experience you provide, okay? This is going to be super duper cool. So let me walk you through a couple just ideas going off the top of my head. Let's just say you're a downtown, like Chicago, New York, LA, like say you're like one of these like $1 million agents, like the ones you see on fucking Bravo, right? Well, great. Maybe this means that your showings are all done in limos. I can imagine people just doing helicopter tour showings for $10 million plus properties, but there's going to be something that you do that makes you stick out. We have a law firm we represent. I create a lot of their videos and their brand is they're in family law. Okay. So I'm getting out of real estate just to give you guys a good example of this. Their brand is they're in family law, but their tagline is, have you ever argued with a woman? It's so badass. Like, I just love it. Have you ever argued with a woman? And what they do differently is they're a family law firm, but they're an all woman dominated family law firm. Every attorney there is a woman. So that's their positioning. That's what makes them do different. That's what they do differently. And that's what works for them. Right. And that's what you have to define for yourself. So I've seen some agents that are very dog friendly. A couple past clients, I remember, would rescue a dog per closing or per transaction. That is a unique selling proposition, right? So if you close a house, great. You sponsor a dog and you save a dog's life. That is what I'm talking about in terms of building the brand and doing something different. It doesn't always have to be an offering a discount or offering a price. However, you could do that. I think there's going to be a lot of flat fee brokerages that come out of nowhere. And if you look at any of the flat fee brokerages, people can talk all they want about them, but the ones that are doing it are crushing it. And it's because there's a market to serve there. There are people that want that service. And what we have to do as business people is adapt our unique selling propositions, our processes to what the public is asking us of, not to, this is the way it was, so I'm not going to discount this. I'm going to give you another example I saw in a Facebook group the other day. And I'm scrolling through the news feed and I'm just like rolling through, reading these comments, right? I get so much of my research on a lot of these comments. And someone said, hey, would you take a $1.5 million listing for 1.5%. 75% of the, this is a $1.5 million listing for 1.5%. So let me just do the exact math because I don't want to mess this up, but a $1.5 million listing at a 1.5% listing is $22,500 gross income to the agent. 75% of the agents said, no, I would not take that. I'm worth more. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You would pass up on $22,500 because you think that you're worth more? Folks, it's not going to matter what you think, okay? This is a harsh reality, and I don't want to be a jerk, but this is the reality. It's not going to matter what you think, because what we think doesn't fucking matter. What they do does, because they're the ones who are paying. A paradigm shift like this has to... You have to leave your ego at the door and you have to take what the market's given you and embrace it and adjust with it, guys. All right. And what the market's, I think, is already saying just by the early consumer comments, you can look at them on any newsfeed. If you don't believe me, go look at any of these realtor settlement articles, go read the comments on them and look what consumers are saying. Consumers do not want to pay or overpay a real estate agent. They think we're overpaid. We are 21% trust racial factor. Here's another statistic I just pulled up off of social last night. And it says, let me look at it here. This is the trusted professions, the percent of people that trust a profession. 20% of people, only 20% show a positive opinion of real estate agents of the public. Okay. Lawyers are 21%. And a step right below us are labor union leaders, car salespeople, telemarketers, members of Congress, and lobbyists. That's who real estate agents are above. So the public is saying, and this isn't me, this is what the public is saying. Okay, so how do we embrace this? Let's go into the opportunity, because I think I beat the crap out of the doom. But the opportunity, guys, is to adjust. Like, I see so many opportunities right now. So I want to talk to you about what that USP could be. Now, if I'm a listing agent, I want you to write this down. If I'm a listing agent, let's just say this buyer agency fee goes in and everything I'm saying happens and is true. Well, as a listing agent, what I would do is I would package up my listing services and do a series of options. So for example, I might say, hey, Mr. Seller, here's my 4% listing program. And what this involves is your sell and your buy. I'm going to take a 4% listing. And what we're going to do is that I'm also going to help you on the buy side. So this is the perfect package for somebody that is selling and buying at the same time. Included with this, we have a move and a concierge service. We turn on your utilities for you. And you know, we pick you up, we show you the houses and everything. We make sure it's seamless, because what happens is when you're closing and you're buying and selling at the same time, it's very complicated. So there's a lot of precision, there's a lot of timing and all that needs to be done. So if you don't want to end up in between houses, in between those two houses, and literally be living in a hotel for a few months, this is the right package for you. Now, realistically, what I'm doing here from a business perspective is I'm saying, all right, great. I'm gonna get 4%. So I'm gonna keep 2.5% on the list, and that's gonna allow me to have 1.5% for my purchase, right? I'm just having them pay for my buyer's agency up front on the listing side. This is just positioning, guys. It's the same thing. Now, if I'm getting 2.5% on the list side and 1.5% on the buy side already when I take the listing and sell the house, well, I'm still going to probably get some kind of co-op on the other side too, like whatever the co-op agent is. Just what if the co-op agent is actually offering 2%? Well, shit, I just got 3.5% on my buy, right? Now, I'm thinking upstream and I'm swimming upstream because I'm thinking about it ahead of time. Now, under that exact same listing package, what I could do is say, all right, Mr. Seller, here's my 3% listing package. Now, what this involves is that we don't go out and show you the houses, but we handle all the facilitation and the transactions. So you actually go look for your own house on your own. And when you go out and do that, once you find the one you want to buy, then we're going to be the ones that write up the contract, advise you such force, and so on and so on. And this is our 3% program. And then we have just the list only program. This is just 2.5%. We don't help you at all on your buy side. This is like for people who are relocating. We call this the out of state, see you later. And this is that package. The point being, you guys, is I'm selling through options. And what I'm doing is I'm protecting my future interest, but I'm also allowing people to choose what they decide. Now, of course, within these different listing packages, I'm going to have different marketing options, right? See, the way I see it is I would position myself as a marketing company that just happens to sell real estate versus a real estate agent. Personally, I would say, hey, we have drone, we have video, we have production. Would you like a property walkthrough? Or would you like a property walkthrough production video? Would you like me to run social media and Facebook ads with this? Or would you not want me to do that? Do you want me to have an open house with this? Or do you not want to do that? There are so many ways you can stack your offer, and what you'll end up seeing is it's no differently than when we sell anything else, whether it's online or in person, is that the more you stack your offer and the more you justify your value through the services rendered and the services you provide, the more someone's going to be willing to pay for it. What happens today is that realtors just going, hey, 6%, 5% listing, this is my way or the highway, and don't worry about it. Sign where the line is dotted. I'm going to take care of it all, and you're going to fucking smile and sing kumbaya into the sunset. Well, folks, that's not realistically how it happens, is it? So you got to think about this stuff ahead of time. Now, that's an example of how I would set up like a listing side. And that's just going off the top of my head. Hey, why don't someone create Option Realty? Whoever does that's going to make $1 million. All right. Plus a lot more than that, but do it. All right. So here's another option. Now on the buy side, what am I going to do? I've been screaming this from the rooftops. We've been doing webinars for the last 6 months, well before this news. There are lenders that you can partner with right now that as long as you get your loan origination license, you can collect a 0.5 up to a 1% of the loan, a basis point. So basically at what 0.5 to 1% commission on the loan amount, right? Now, what's wrong with that? I think it's a fantastic idea. If I start getting offered 1% as a co-op for a buyer's agent fees, where am I going to make up the rest? If I want to get to that 2.5%, well, great. I'm going to hit ancillary services. I'm going to 100% go right after. I'm going to get the loan points. I'm going to try to get 1% on the buy on the co-op or more. Then I'm going to get 0.5 point and to 1% on the basis. Because most buyers, as you know, end up working with the lender you recommend when they trust you, because you should have the best lender. You should have the best services around. And the full package should entail that. That's just one option, guys. For those of you guys in solar markets, start selling it. Solar is so lucrative. We have several different partners inside a referral suite we suggest for you guys to use. But why wouldn't you sell solar? That's a home service. Hey, would you like fries with that? It's like, hey, you're closing your house. You have that pool. It's going to cost you like $1,200 a month on your electric bill. You need solar, dude. Like, that's an easy upsell that you can make additional commissions on, right? Folks, there are so many of these little ancillary services that you can work with. Another very interesting angle that you could possibly take is like I would go right after strategic alliances. I think you got to pick your niche. Right now, that niche is divorce, probate, bankruptcy, all the people that have houses facing those life situations, because the reality is those are the ones moving. We're stuck right now. No one who has a 2% rate on their house can find a replacement property that's better than what they currently have, and therefore they're fucking stuck. On top of it, anyone that can afford to keep their 2% rate house, you're an idiot if you sell it, because there's your retirement plan. You have you have free money. Rent that thing out, depreciate it, and let it appreciate and pay off that mortgage, and boom, you got a retirement plan. So we're stuck. So where am I going to go right now? I'm going right to distressed, because regardless of what the economy does, regardless of who's president, or inflation or whatever happens, like, people have life events. People die. People get divorced. 42% of America. And again, people fall back on debt, fall behind on bills. And if you guys look at the data, literally, there's the highest credit card report delinquency and debt ever. It's the same with car loans. So people, you don't think people that have debt have house debt too? Okay, there's a portion of those people that own the property they're in. Those properties have a lot of equity and they don't know what to do. So again, that's just another angle you could take. I'm not here to tell you how to run your business or what angle there is to take. I'm telling you that there is opportunity in every single paradigm and opportunity and shift like this within the marketplace. But what you can't do is become the status quo. And if you can't continue to do things as they were, because things are changing, the one who changes with the market is the one who gets all the attention every single time. And I'm going to end with this. When we saw this is like the third or fourth shift that I've seen this, like, what happens is the realtors here, they're crushing it. Then something happens and they're crushing, something happened. Most recently, I could tell you the last three, this happened. First was in COVID 2020. March, right when it hit. I know, because I was a vendor. I had video services. We were having our best months ever. And we were doing a lot of video marketing for agents. And we lost about 70% of our clients because everyone pulled back on their marketing. And look what happened. The ones who stuck, the ones who kept creating content, who doubled down, created a lot of buzz, those agents are now all like millionaires. They're crushing it, right? But then after 2020 and 2020, was it 3-2, when the interest rates started to hike? Interest rate hike. Again, lost 70% of our business because the agents pulled back. They pulled back, right? And now what we're seeing is this NAR news. This is the third time in like 6 years that this has happened. Whoa, pull back. Folks, when you pull back is when you go out of business. It's when you double down. Literally, put some faith in your own business. Faith over fear is my tagline, but you have to believe in yourself to go out and do it. Yeah, it's scary, but this is when you double down right now, and this is when you make change, and then this is also when you scream it from the rooftops. That formula has survived every market shift, every paradigm shift, after whatever it is. I don't care what it is, because transactions will always be had. The question is make sure everyone you know knows what you do, so that could always remain a referral source. And then secondly, when the market shifts, you have to go to where the transactions are, and I just laid out where they are. The question is, are you going to chase them, go with them, or you can continue to follow the status quo, because there's a paradigm shift. Those who embrace it will crush it. Those who don't will get crushed. See you next week.
Thank you for watching another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Dude podcast. If you need help with video or finding out what your brand is, visit our website at www.realestatemarketingdude.com. We make branding and video content creation simple and do everything for you. So if you have any additional questions, visit the site, download the training, and then schedule time to speak with a dude and get you rolling in your local marketplace. Thanks for watching another episode of the podcast. We'll see you next time.